Well, 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 here we are again, another week, mid-winter exactly. Isn't that pleasant? Well, it'll be mid-winter exactly at about, what, midday? Yeah, which is soon. Now, first of all, I'd like, once again, this is the last time we mentioned the 2026 3CR Radiophone, because I'm getting a bit bored with it, and I'm sure you are too. But just let you know that we've reached the grand total of $13,007. So thank you very much. That's a great effort. I will be in contact with you in the next month or so, thanking you personally. But thank you very much, and keep saving for next year's Radiophone, because next year, if I'm still around and you're around, and obviously life is a very, very, how shall I say, friable condition, it'll be the 50th year for the Anarchist World this week. So start saving now for your tax deduction. Now, tonight I'll be doing a presentation at the Footscray Hotel, which is at 48 Hopkins Street. It's 6:30 p.m. for a 7 p.m. start. Now, the Footscray Hotel is an old-fashioned pub, doesn't do food, so you can bring your own food, but don't bring drinks. You purchase drinks at the bar, but bring food to share with people. I'll be doing a presentation on the Australian Volunteers in the Spanish Civil War and its relevance to Australia in 2026. It's the 90th anniversary of the Spanish Civil War on the 19th of July, which was a war about human liberation, not national liberation, something people seem to have forgotten about. Now, on Saturday, the 25th, that's Saturday, the 25th of July, all those people who knew Denise Hassett, mainly on the Mornington Peninsula, will be having a celebration of her life. Denise died two or three weeks ago. At the Dava Hotel, D-A-V-A, on the Esplanade in Mount Martha from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. in the conference room. So come along and share stories about Denise's life. She had a major impact on radical action, radical activity in the Mornington Peninsula. I think it's important that we remember people, especially those who've done something to improve other people's lives. Now on the 29th of July will be the dinner at Frankston, starting at 6:30 p.m. at La Porquetas in the Pean Highway. Now, those of you who've inquired about the new Anarchist World This Week t-shirts, which we produced for the 50th anniversary of 3CR, we've got about 45 left of the original 100. Every cent raised will go to paying the Anarchist Media Institute's bill here at 3CR, because you may find this hard to believe. We're affiliates and we pay our own way, and it costs about $150 a week to put the Anarchist World This Week to air. So it's a good way to help us pay our debts is to buy one of the new t-shirts. You can actually see what it looks like if you go on the Facebook page, Joseph Toscano. And don't forget, the 30th of August, a long way away, is the next gathering for West Papua.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World This Week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to the Anarchist World This Week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Here we are, back again. The Anarchist World This Week, brought to you courtesy of the Community Radio Network from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. My name is Joseph Toscano. If you wonder what anarchism is all about, no, it's not about chaos. It's not about war. An anarchist society is based on two concepts: redistribution of power and wealth. Very simple. What gives rulers the ability to determine the lives of billions of people? Inequalities in power and wealth. So the anarchist struggle is the struggle to devolve power, that's share power, possibly through direct democratic means, and to hold wealth in common and use it for the common good. Simple, simple concepts. My name is Joseph Toscano, and if you want to have a chat, you can always leave a message on 0439 395 489, 0439 395 489. Now, I had an original idea this morning, and it's unusual to have an original idea. If you have one original idea in a lifetime, you're ahead. That freedom is a two-wheel bicycle, right? Not about, I don't bicycle. I think it's a dangerous pursuit in the city. But freedom is a two-wheel bicycle. Why is it a two-wheel bicycle? Because freedom is based on two concepts: power and wealth. Freedom isn't a penny farthing bicycle where you've got one big wheel and one little wheel. That's a bit what society is like today. You've got people who've acquired wealth, you've got people who have power, and they're not, well, are unwilling about sharing it. So freedom, you do need the ability to make decisions, and you do need the ability to have the wealth to ensure that those decisions are carried out. Now, having a nationalist revolution where you're fighting for God, Queen or King and country is really a waste of time. It's not about human liberation. It's not about human freedom. It's about ensuring the status quo continues ad nauseam. It's one thing dying for a flag or what it represents. It's another thing being involved in that struggle that has been going on since time immemorial to ensure that power and wealth is used to promote the common good, not build a penny farthing bicycle where a minuscule minority has the ability to determine the lives of billions of people. And that's what we face today. It's a tragedy when you really think about it. You think that we live in an information age where I can talk today and people around the world can hear us through the World Wide Web. They can hear a podcast. You can contact your friends anywhere on planet Earth or most places on planet Earth. And the fact is that our ability to devolve power and our ability to share in the common bounty, the commonwealth of the country, has decreased dramatically. And if you look at every available statistical indicator since the beginning of the neoliberal revolution, which started over 50 years ago, what we've seen is a deterioration in the lives of the majority of people. Simple. Something you can't argue about. So to me, as I keep saying, is neoliberalism is the pathway, or the superhighway, not pathway, the superhighway to neo-fascism. And what we are seeing today is the fact that neoliberalism, deregulation and privatisation and globalisation and corporatisation have failed the great majority of people. They haven't failed the investment class and the 1% that own the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication, but they have failed the great majority of people. So people say to themselves, why do we find ourselves in this problem? I think one of the most pivotal moments in my existence on planet Earth was a few weeks ago when Divided Nation won the federal seat in southern New South Wales. And I watched them celebrate just for a few minutes. I did it for you, obviously. And the big thing they kept saying was, we want our country back. We want our country back. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I agree with them. We do want our country back. But the trouble is, the neo-fascist embryos that have been created in society through the divided nation philosophy is a philosophy about actually not acknowledging the reason we find ourselves in this situation. So you look for simple solutions like, you know, it's immigrants. It's those bloody immigrants. It's their fault, isn't it? And it's those pesky First Nations people who demand a bit of justice. And also it's all those sexual deviants out there that are jumping up and down. And it's all that woke garbage. And when you look at it, it's a philosophy which is based on division. It's a philosophy which will not give Australians back their country, whether they're First Nations or whether they're not. It's a philosophy which creates violence and hatred in our community, and we are beginning to see what these policies are doing. So when I say we want our country back, when anarchists say we want our country back, what we're talking about is exposing the reason we find ourselves in this situation. And the reason we find ourselves in this situation where the majority of Australians are going backwards, not just financially but culturally, intellectually, is the fact that power and wealth is being concentrated in fewer and fewer and fewer hands in our society. That's the issue. If you want your country back, we need to ensure that the Commonwealth is used for the common good, that the Commonwealth isn't given away to a corporate sector whose major purpose in life is to maximise, that's right, maximise profits for their major shareholders. Very simple. So next time you hear somebody saying we want our country back, ask them, who do you want your country back? How can you get your country back by attacking the most dispossessed and the most marginalised sections of our community? How can you? If you want your country back, you'd be looking at the backers of the conservative and reactionary movement in this country. You'd be looking at who wants to create division so that we are constantly involved in disputes about nothing in particular, by leaving those who exercise power and concentrate wealth in their hands alone. So that's the difference. We want our country back. But we want it back in conjunction with those marginalised and exploited sections of our community who are not the enemy. The enemy is that small number of people in this country who have enough power, who exercise enough power and have enough wealth to determine the parliamentary agenda. And nothing highlights this more than the kerfuffle that's occurred over some minor, very minor, alterations to this country's investment laws regarding negative gearing, company profitability, and the list goes on and on. So yes, we agree with Divided Nation. We want our country back. But we don't want our country back by dividing the nation, by attacking the marginalised, the dispossessed, those without power. We know that if we want our country back, we need to attack those who hold power, exercise power, and have extraordinary control over the political, cultural agenda in this country. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. It's coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. My name's Joseph Toscano. Let's move on. I'd just like to remind people the Eureka Australia Medal nominations are now open. They're open to anybody residing in Australia currently who you believe has made a substantial contribution to improving the lives of people in this country. It doesn't have to be political. It can be a social action, cultural activities. It's very easy to nominate people. On the 3rd of December, on Eureka Day, we give out 6 Eureka Australia medals at Ballarat, at the site the Eureka Oath was taken on the 29th of November 1854. We swear by the Southern Cross to stand truly by each other and fight to defend our rights and liberties. Nominations are now open. They will close in early November, I think the 10th of November. And if you want to nominate somebody, you can actually email your nomination to info@pibci.net or info@anarchistmedia.org. You can always leave a message on 0439 395 489. Or if you have any, you know, you're not happy, you're not a fan of the new technology, and you can afford a stamp, you can always send us a letter to Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. Now, why were the Eureka Australia Medals inaugurated in 2005? Because we were sick and tired of seeing people like Denise Hassett, who've made an extraordinary contribution to improving the lives of other people, being ignored, pushed aside, marginalised. It's important that we recognise the people who have made a real difference in this country. And this gives you an opportunity to nominate people who you think should be acknowledged. Not rewarded. There's no money involved. They just get a little medal, hand-cast, a Eureka medal, hand-cast. No money. It's about acknowledging that they've done the hard yards, they've done the work, and they have been part of that movement to improve the lives of people in this country. Now you may be a bit confused. There's a Royal Commission on Anti-Semitism running currently, and it's getting a fair bit of coverage. Now, definitions are everything. So what is anti-Semitism? Now, the Australian government and most institutions in this country, including APRA, which is the regulatory authority of healthcare professionals, have accepted the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition. That's the definition that people use. And that definition says that a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. That's what anti-Semitism is. A certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Now, the dilemma is the Israeli state, which classifies itself as the only Jewish state on planet Earth, a little bit like the Islamic states. The Israeli state has been involved in some of the most extraordinary brutality that we've seen in the 21st century. And unfortunately, we are now seeing the dilemma of people stopping their criticism of the actions of the Israeli state against the Palestinian people, because they we're conflating on a national level legitimate criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. Now, legitimate criticism of the actions of the Israeli government and those sections of Israeli society which support the Israeli government's action, and it's not all Israelis, obviously, is not anti-Semitism and will never be anti-Semitism, irrespective of how elastic the definition of anti-Semitism is. So I hope that people listening to this program do not conflate legitimate criticism of Israel's actions with anti-Semitism, because it's got nothing to do with anti-Semitism. If the Israeli parliament is willing to rain death on people to such an extent that the United Nations calls it genocide in Gaza, it's more than legitimate to criticise the actions of the Israeli government and the support that a significant majority of Israelis currently show to that government's policies of dealing with what is called the Palestinian problem. So don't be browbeaten by people who somehow think criticising Israel and its actions is parallel or similar to anti-Semitism, which is a different issue. Different issue. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. Now, sometimes you have to pinch yourself in life because things are so extraordinary in 2026. Now, remember the story about King Midas? The man who was so powerful in history that everything he touched turned to gold, and he eventually starved to death. Well, I've just realised, I've had a realisation, you know, conversion on the way to Damascus using a biblical analogy, that the Washington buffoon isn't Midas, but he will meet the same end or the same fate. He will meet the same fate because the Washington buffoon, everything he touches turns to shit, and he's going to drown in his own excrement. Can you name one thing that the Washington buffoon has done which hasn't turned to shit? Look at the United States Israeli war. I don't call it the Iran war, because Iran didn't initiate the conflict. It's the United States Israeli war. It's turned to shit. Look at the Gaza situation, the Gaza Peace Accord. Not $1 has filtered through to Palestinians who are still living in abject poverty as a direct result of the atrocities carried out by the Israeli Defence Forces at the behest of the Israeli government. Look at his ability. He couldn't even get the colour of the pool in front of the White House correct. Just goes on and on. So, although the Washington buffoon thinks he's Midas and everything he touches turns to gold, the fact is he hasn't read the whole story about Midas's fate, where Midas couldn't even eat or drink anything and starved to death because everything he touched turned to gold. I mean, there is a story in that, isn't it? But the difference is that everything the Washington Buffoon touches turns into excrement, shit. And he will meet the same fate. He will drown in his own shit because an increasing number of Americans are beginning to understand that he's just a chronic confabulator, which is a special way of saying he's a liar. And anything he puts his hands to becomes a total disaster. Let's move on. That's the comedy segment, obviously, for today's Anarchist World This Week. Now, why do so few Australians support public housing? It's an interesting concept. Look, I've been involved with the public housing struggle for over a decade, and for the last 8 years, that's right, 8 years, not some occasional rally, but for the last 8 years, every Thursday, a small group of us has been conducting a public housing vigil on the steps of the Victorian Parliament House to keep the idea of public housing afloat. Now, unfortunately, the movement to protect public housing is small, minuscule. And irrespective of the so-called ABC Four Corners program a few days ago, the fact is, a little bit like people conflating legitimate criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism, a lot of people have been convinced that social housing, affordable housing, is somehow public housing. Well, it's not. And governments intent on privatising their responsibility to its citizens, especially its more marginalised citizens, to keep a roof over their heads, have handballed the responsibility of the private sector. Now, I remember decades ago when we were involved in public housing struggles, that we would see the major church groups, the major so-called welfare organisations, turn up at our rallies and form a significant backbone of that movement to create an increasing numbers of public housing for Victorians. And at one stage, Victorians in the 60s, about 12% of Victorians lived in public housing. Today it's less than 3%. So what we see today is those organisations which were so critical in supporting the push for increased, for defending and extending public housing, have now joined the other side. They've crossed over. They are beginning to see that they can make money out of housing by providing affordable community social housing, which is nothing more than private housing. So when people hear governments talking about giving money to the social housing sector, the affordable housing sector, the community housing sector, people automatically assume that this is something to do with the public housing sector, because they've been so successful at muddying the waters about what public housing is. Now, interestingly, although we stood on the steps, we have stood and we will continue to stand on the steps of the Victorian Parliament House in the public housing vigil every Thursday from midday to 1 p.m. The fact is that although there are hundreds of representatives in the Legislative Assembly and the Legislative Council, a few hundred, only three. One, two, three. During that period, they're all Greens members, have come down to offer support. The major political parties are more interested in washing their hands of their responsibilities to provide housing to those who are not able to enter the private housing market because of a variety of reasons, to actually shun that responsibility and give it across to the to a private sector in what are little more than private-public partnerships, where the private sector gets 90% of the profits, and if the public sector is lucky to get 10% of substandard housing, which is called affordable social community housing. So in many regards, although I have never been involved in a campaign, and I'm now nearly 75, where we've attracted so much public support, the fact is that today most Australians are not aware that community housing, social housing, affordable housing is nothing more than private housing which is run by for-profit private organisations and in many regards not-for-profit church-based groups who now have their noses in the trough while accepting government money, they find themselves in a situation where they are no longer able to criticise government policy. And we've seen this in all aspects of social security in this country over the last 40 to 50 years during the neoliberal revolution. We've seen those very organisations which have campaigned for a more equitable society now having their, you know, noses, their snouts in the trough. Look at the unemployment or the employment services, which deals with unemployment. $8 billion straight into the pockets of the Salvation Army every year. Billion, not million, billion. The housing sector, the sector where people provide social security benefits, the governments at the state and federal level and local level have washed their hands of the responsibility and they've become nothing more than organisations which give out contracts to private companies to provide a service. Instead of providing the service directly, they contract it out to a private company. It's a little bit like having three people in a marital bed. It's such a waste of money, such a waste of talent, such a waste of everything. Listen to the Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. Just like to remind you, this program is brought to you by the Anarchist Media Institute. We're affiliates of Community Radio 3CR. Now, let's move on. Let's move on. Cue dreaming. Now, there will be a state election in Victoria on the last Saturday in November. I mean, we have four years fixed terms here in Victoria. And it's becoming a three-way contest between divided nation pushing its divisive policies as solutions to the country's problems, We have a Liberal National Party, which is hell-bent on having a liquidation sale of what's left of the state assets in order to put the balance the books and help their mates in the private sector. And we've got a Labor Party, which has found itself floundering, because of its big build policies. It reminds me of the John Cain Jr. Labor Party, when poor old Johnny Cain used to walk out and say, "Look at all the cranes in the sky." And it was the cranes in the sky which led to the demise of the Labor Party. Now, I am particularly concerned regarding the Liberal Party and National Party policy in Victoria. Now, irrespective of the shortcomings of the treaty which has been signed between Victoria's First Nations people and the Victorian government, I find it quite disturbing that two of the major political forces in the next state election have a policy of tearing up that treaty. That's the Liberal National Party and Divided Nation. I'm also concerned about the divisions which will grow wider in this community, a community which is based on immigration and multiculturalism, because of their policies. And I'm concerned about the liquidation sale which will occur if the Liberal Divided Nation Alliance wins a majority in the Legislative Assembly. Quite an extraordinary situation we find ourselves in. So I'm interested in standing as a candidate. That's right, standing as a candidate in the Q electorate against the current leader of the Liberal Party, who's nothing more than a Jeff Kennett clone, in my opinion anyway. Policies are exceptionally similar. So, in order to do this, I'm not asking for your support financially. What I need is people in the Q electorate in Victoria to nominate me. So if you know anybody, if you live in the Q electorate, if you know anybody who lives in the Q electorate who may be interested in nominating myself on a radical platform to ensure that state services continue to be provided, that the public housing sector is extended, and that the treaty, irrespective of its deficiencies, is not torn up willy-nilly, well then, give me a call on 0439 395 489. 0439 395 489. Whether I go ahead or not with this Don Quixote tilt at these windmills really depends on your ability to assist me to get enough people in the Q electorate to nominate me as their candidate. So I'm going to put the ball in your court. It's in your court. Let's move on. Now, I'm sick and tired, actually really sick and tired, of listening to people bitching about petrol and diesel prices. Now, look, I am paying a financial price because of the current United States-Israeli war in the Middle East. I mean, I drive about 1,200 to 1,500 kilometres a week, and I'm still stuck in a petrol-driven car, although I'd like to change that. But the issue isn't about petrol prices. And every time you hear about another bomb or drone blowing up, Well, you hear oil prices spiking, you know, in the international spot purchase market. You hear people bleating about the cost of petrol and diesel, as if this is the main issue facing us. This is a war that it's about, as we saw in Gaza, it's about thousands of needless deaths. How would you feel if the Chinese People's Liberation Army felt that Australia was, you know, giving them a hard time by forming all these alliances in the Pacific in an attempt to keep them out of the Pacific Ocean, if it started, it decided that it would bomb Canberra on a parliamentary sitting day and kill the Prime Minister and Cabinet Ministers and some members of the opposition and raise Parliament House in Canberra to the ground? You wouldn't feel happy about it, would you? Irrespective of your political allegiances, you wouldn't feel happy about it. You'd feel it's an attack on our national sovereignty, our ability to govern ourselves. Now look at what's happened in the Middle East. Out of the blue, we have the United States government and the Israeli government has decided that it's going to kill, murder, as many Iranian leaders as it can. So it goes about this bombing campaign, which is relatively successful in terms of decapitating the leadership in Iran and almost destroying the leadership in southern Lebanon, but doesn't really do it. And somehow we're expected to think that there's nothing wrong with this. How about the needless deaths in southern Lebanon? The million people that have been displaced by this unnecessary war. The fact that 9 million people in Israel think their fate is more important than the fate of hundreds of millions of people in the region. And the cost that has been to the rest of the world in terms of lost productivity and increasing costs because of petrol prices. But ultimately, this is not about petrol. It's not about diesel. It's not about the Strait of Hormuz. This is about the thousands, if not tens of thousands, of needless deaths and destruction that has occurred as a result of this. It's not a war. This massacre. It's nothing else. Think about it. We, as Australians, need to look beyond the little box that we find our ideas are contained in. We need to put ourselves in the foot or the shoes of the other people. And that gives us an understanding of why so many people in the Middle East are so angry and have been so angry for so long. This is the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. Now, I'm interested in the debate. That's right, debate we are currently having about violence in Australian society. And obviously, there's a really nasty element having precedence in Australian society. Violence has become almost endemic, and femicide has become a critical issue. Not that it never was. And what we're seeing is many more young people, teenagers, prepubescent people, teenagers, been involved in violent activity. And we, you know, we clasp our hands and we say, what's all this about? Why all this violence in the community? And then you look around a little bit beyond our borders. And you look about the violence which has been perpetrated by states, not just pariah states, but by sovereign nation states around the world, where we see thousands, if not tens of thousands, of needless deaths, where we see the inability of sovereign nation states to carry out policies without violence. So violence is an everyday issue. Each and every one of us is exposed to it. Not that I'm making any excuses for violent behaviour, but if people, especially young people, see violence behaviour which is perpetrated by states in many regards on defenceless people and get away with it, and there's no consequences, no consequences for the Iranian leadership, no consequences for Putin, no consequences for the Washington buffoon, somehow that same philosophical basis trickles down into society, especially those sections of society that have been left out of the equation as far as their ability to have a decent future in our society. So it's not just a matter of more laws, harsher penalties. It's not just a matter of education. It's a matter of understanding the increasing frustration which we are seeing growing, not just in our society, but all Western societies, where parliamentary democracy has not been able to deliver what it promises. And the main reason it hasn't been able to deliver is that it has been compromised by the fact that an illegitimate minority who has wealth is able to determine what the parliamentary agenda is in these countries. And no wonder we see the rise and rise and rise of neo-fascist movements, not just in Australia, but all Western democracies. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. So it's all very well, you know, talking about it, but what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Well, I've been on the planet a long time, almost 75 years in a few months. And the fact is that I have the same issues that everybody else has. We feel powerless. We feel powerless to be able to determine our future. We feel we are marginalised. We're pushed aside, ignored. Give you an example. Four Corners expose on the affordable housing crisis, in inverted commas. There was nobody on that program that had been actively involved in promoting public housing. Just extraordinary. So people feel powerless. They feel marginalised. They're ignored. So people begin to look for scapegoats. If you can't fight City Hall, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to fight your neighbour, aren't you? If you're frustrated about things, you're going to conflate, good word, isn't it? You're going to conflate your alienation, your desperation, your frustration, your inability to change society with the fact that maybe your neighbour is a little bit more than you. But the fact is, it's ultimately, it's about power and how power is wielded and who has power and how they use it to influence government to ensure that they continue to rule. It's that simple. So I think our most important effort at the minute, the most important thing at the minute we can do is attempt, and the key word is attempt, to describe the society we live in, to point to people the reason we find ourselves in this situation, And the fact that if we use our frustration on other marginalised, dispossessed members of our community, that nothing will happen, that we will continue to drown in our own excrement. And the fact is that it's easy, as I keep saying, to blame the other. It's much harder to join the dots. For example, look at artificial intelligence. What's artificial intelligence all about? What's the platforms, the virtual platforms, is all about? It's all about using your data to sell you shit and increase their profits. It's very simple. So why do we allow these virtual platforms to be controlled by the state or to be controlled by individuals? Why can't we talk about a third way, which is community control of these virtual platforms? It's just not about passing legislation to ensure that they obey the law. It's more than that. It's about who owns the platforms. It's a little bit like the situation I keep talking about on this program, about the fact there is never enough money. There is never enough money in this country to meet the requirements of the majority of people. But there is. The fact is, this country is a resource-rich country with a population of 28 million. We are 0.3%. That's right, 0.3% of the world's population. And we have the same problems over and over and over again. What I've learned in the last 60 years I've been an activist is the fact that it's the same issues keep coming up over and over and over and over again, and somehow we're not able to face these issues. And to a significant degree, this has occurred is because we have vacated. That's right. We have vacated ideas regarding economic reform, economic change in this country. It's all about personality politics. It's all about issue-driven politics. For example, look at the Green Revolution we're currently going through, you know. Increasing CO2, although a few buffoons don't accept it, majority of people do. The fact is we are recreating the same structures as far as alternative energy is concerned. Highly centralised institutions owned by the private sector. Instead of having self-managed energy systems, instead of promoting the idea of having community-controlled and community-owned energy production facilities, we are talking about the same model, giving money to corporations, you know, to destroy fossil fuel reliance. Instead of giving money to local communities to ensure that they can actually create that alternative energy structure. And we see it in all aspects of life in Australia in 2026. We are seeing more and more and more of the country's assets going to corporations, which then manage them on behalf of the government of the day. Now, obviously, there's never enough money if you don't own your backyard. And we don't own a backyard. Our backyard, which was initially owned by First Nations people, to which we owe a debt of gratitude, our backyard has been given away to the private sector for peppercorn rent. No wonder there's never any money to deal with the crisis NDIS, to deal with a floundering public health sector, to deal with a public education sector which is under-resourced and understaffed. No wonder there is no money for the public housing sector when we give away so much to the private sector to provide services that should be provided by the state. So I think it's about time that we moved in a different direction. It's all very well being, you know, consumed by one issue, but ultimately, as I said at the beginning of the program, it's about power and wealth. Who controls what? Why is it there? Why do we continue to support institutions whose basic and only responsibility is to create ever-increasing profits for their major shareholders? And that's what we are doing as a community on a day-to-day basis. We support institutions whose ultimate goal is to maximise profits for a minority of the population. And while we continue to do that, nothing will change. Nothing will change. You've been listening to The Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. This program has been coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. That's 3cr.org.au. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489, 0439 395 489. You can join public interest before corporate interest. Look at the website, PIBCI.net. You can be involved in many of the activities that are organised through the Anarchist Media Institute. Go to my Facebook page, Joseph Toscano. If you're interested in radical Australian history, go to the Facebook page, josephtoscano.nam. If you're interested in analysis of what's going on in the world today, you can always go to the YouTube channel, Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. That's Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. Ultimately, it's important that not only do we have your support, and I'm not talking about financial support, ultimately, it's important that what this program does is actually encourage you to speak about the issues that are important, not just to yourself, but to your neighbours, whether you do it via the World Wide Web, whether you do it personally, whether you do it at a family gathering, irrespective of whether you're going to be kicked out or not. The fact is, change, significant change, will only come when we are involved in the struggle for human liberation, not personal liberation, when we are involved in the struggle to ensure that wealth is held in common and used for the common good. Thank you for listening to The Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program has been coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. My name is Joseph Toscano. I encourage you to get other people to listen to the podcast. You can go to the podcast, 3cr.org.au. It's also available, The Anarchist World this week, of many platforms. I'm sure if you're computer literate, you'll be able to find them. And if you're not, listen in to The Anarchist World this week on your local community radio station, courtesy of the Community Radio Network, next week. Thank you for listening. It's been 49 years. We've been broadcasting The Anarchist World this week, over 20 years on the Community Radio Network. And I hope that you will be able to join us next week for another issue, episode of The Anarchist World this week.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World this week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to The Anarchist World this week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.